It is so good to be in worship with you today. I am especially excited today because we are starting a brand new sermon series called Parenting in the Spirit. See, when I started as a parent, I had to go through classes because Beth and I were fostering to adopt children, and so we had to go through classes to learn how to be a parent, how to discipline our kids in a healthy way, and the structure we need to set up, and all these kinds of things. We had to get our home, had to have certain things in it. We had to get licensed. We had to have certain smoke detectors, all these kinds of things that taught us how to be a parent. But do you know that no one actually taught me how to parent my children in the leading of God's Holy Spirit? And so what I want us to do is I want us to take a few weeks where we can actually dig into God's Word and figure out how can we lead this next generation, not just on our own, not just from what we've learned in our own experiences, but how can we allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us as we lead them to Jesus and to His kingdom? So I'm so excited to get into this today and even over these next few weeks. Pray with me as we get started here today. Lord God, I do thank you so much for your great presence here among us right now. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak into and through my life. God, I ask that my words would be your words, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place and in this time. Help us, Lord, that we might receive from you and that we might respond to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, for those of you who are not parents, I want to encourage you to stick around toward the end of the sermon here because I do have a specific word just for you, but I am going to make you wait to the end before I get there. You know, it's interesting, as we have been going through this whole social distancing thing, I've actually talked to a lot of parents throughout these last couple of months, and the responses that I'm getting about some of the things that kids are doing is just absolutely amazing and crazy all at the same time, right? Just in the last couple of months, and I actually kind of made a note on some of these, but just in the last couple of months, I've heard things like, oh, well, she won't do her schoolwork. I cannot get her to do her schoolwork. Like, I'll sit down with, and she just won't do her schoolwork. I've heard things like, well, all he does is play video games all day long. It's like that's all he's going to do. He even tells me how, if he just keeps playing more video games, one of these days he's going to get paid to play video games, right? All he does, he just plays video games. Well, she stays up all night watching videos. She's on the internet, and she doesn't sleep, and she is sleeping in until noon and not going to bed until super late because all she does is stay up all night watching these videos. There was another one who said, oh, my kid won't stop smoking weed. Like, he just is addicted to this stuff and just will not stop, no matter how much I encourage him, no matter how much I tell him not to, like, he just won't stop, right? Another one who said that, my daughter is sexually active with her boyfriend, and I don't know what to do, right? Another one who said, my son is just constantly disrespectful. Constantly. Like, all the time. Like, it seems like every word coming out of his mouth is just negative. A negative to me, negative to pretty much everybody around us. And as I've heard all of these different things in a wide variety of places, by the way, it reminds me that much more that, like, as parents, we have a huge responsibility before us. we have, and our children are dealing with some real issues. Our kids are even in on top of all these other things of doing school online and all the different things they've had to adapt to over the last couple of months. Like, they're also dealing with spiritual issues of how do I know that Jesus is real? And how do I know that God created all it is? And how do I find the answers? Like how do I read the Bible for myself and actually understand it when it seems so foreign? How do we as parents help in these situations? Well, one of the parents that I spoke to in regard to one of these situations here said, you know what, I love Jesus, but I lost my mind on my child. I lost my mind. I just couldn't believe that he and she were acting like this. I couldn't believe that they were talking to me this way. I couldn't believe they were making these kinds of decisions. And I love Jesus, but I just lost my mind. And I just set them straight and I ground them and all these different consequences, all this kind of stuff. I love Jesus, but, right? If you're a parent, maybe you've been in this place too. I know that I have, right? Where I love Jesus, but man, Sometimes it just feels like I just lose my mind because I don't know what to do to fix the behavior. I don't know what to do to fix the problem. I don't know what to do to fix the issue. And so I love Jesus, but sometimes I just lose my mind when it comes to parenting. And what drives me nuts about this the most is that I find myself, this is me personally now, I find myself dealing with the same issues that my parents have already repented of, right? Like, when my parents were doing these things as I was a kid coming up, like, they've learned from this and they're not making those same things over again. But now I find myself doing the same things they've already repented of. And hear me very clearly, I'm not blaming any of my issues on my parents or any other generation before, because let's be honest, like, my parents had parents too. And the truth is that they're just learning from the people who were around them. They were learning how to handle stress. They were learning how to deal with difficulty. They were learning how to deal with kids that don't listen. They were learning how to deal with changing climates and all kinds of different issues and problems. Like, they were learning themselves just like we are today. And I'm sure they had some points where they said, you know what, I love Jesus, but you about to get your butt whooped, son. Like they probably had some times where, at least I can testify for myself, that parents for generations now have said, you know what, I might love Jesus, but I'm going crazy here. Like, there is another way for us to process the stress that comes in being a parent. And that way doesn't make us feel like a failure because we're not doing right by our children. And that way also teaches our kids not only how to follow Jesus, but how to follow Jesus in the midst of stressful times. I want to jump into our scripture. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're actually going to be in this chapter for a couple of weeks here, but let me read this text for you, and then I'll kind of break down the context for what I'm reading and kind of help connect it to where we are here. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, and it says, and again, this is Paul speaking to the Galatian church, right? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. verse 5. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. All right, so what does this have to do with parenting anyway? I realize the conversation here is in regard to circumcision and everything, but this actually does connect to parenting, and here's what I want you to see in this. So Paul is writing to the Galatian church, of which has a Jewish background, all right? We do understand that there are probably some Gentile believers there as well, but in general, they have a Jewish understanding of life. Now, not only do they have this Jewish background, but now they have become followers of Jesus, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, right? And so they have lived in the law, but now they have shifted into living into the fulfillment of the law, which is Jesus Christ himself. However, while they're trying to put their faith in Jesus, they're also trying to put their faith in the law at the same time. See, watch this now. Because they believe in Jesus, they trust in Jesus, they know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, yet Paul is acknowledging the fact that they are trying to live by the law at the same time. And what he's trying to show, and I would encourage you to read through the entire book of Galatians, because it really lays this out in a lot of different examples, but what he's showing them is you can't do both ways. If you're going to try to live according to the law, then you're not going to be living in accordance with the Spirit. And if you're going to try and live in accordance with the Spirit of God, then you're not going to be able to keep the law. Like, these two things are not compatible together. Yet you have these believers in the Galatian church who are saying, I love Jesus, but I love Jesus, but I'm going to do this other thing too. See, here's really what it comes down to, and this is what's so interesting in all this, is that when the Galatian church is doing this, this is really a faith issue. Because if they were just following Jesus, what they would say is, I love Jesus, period. But that's not what they're doing. They're saying, I love Jesus, but I'm also going to be following the law. I'm also, just in case this whole Jesus thing ain't right, I'm going to get my kids circumcised anyway, and I'm going to be circumcised too. Like just in case this Jesus thing ain't right, I'm still going to sacrifice at the temple. Just in case this Jesus thing ain't right, I'm still going to observe certain days and holidays and observances and all these kinds of things, just in case. So it's like, I love Jesus, but, right? So really, like, yes, they did love Jesus, but did they really love Jesus? Like, was Jesus really the center of their lives in everything that they were doing? See, I think we find ourselves in the same position sometimes where however it is that we were brought up, and this is not even in regard just to parenting, but I think it applies especially to parenting as well, but however it is that we were brought up, like we learned a certain way, which we could refer to as our own family law, right? Like this was the culture that we learned, the family culture that we learned. This is the way we do things around here. And whether it was right or wrong, that's just how we did it. Well, then we come to know Jesus, and not only just aware of Jesus, but there comes a point in our lives where we say, you know what, I really surrender my whole life to him. Jesus, I need you to, I recognize that you are the Savior of the universe. I accept that I am a sinner in a need of a Savior, and I give you my whole life. And we really have a moment where we surrender everything that we have to him. But then we go back to life. And we go back to the old culture and the old stuff. And so it's like, yeah, I love Jesus, but I'm still going to do stuff this other way. That's what I've noticed in my parenting in particular. Like, I love Jesus, and I love to tell about it. I love to be able to preach his word. I love to disciple others and to help other people grow in their relationship with Jesus. But at the same time, there are moments that happen specifically in my parenting where I say I love Jesus, but I don't always submit to his Spirit in my parenting. Right? So what I want to do is I want to kind of go back through some of these verses here in Galatians 5 and just kind of show you some of what I mean and some of what the Galatian church was doing and how we kind of do that ourselves. Like, for example, if you go back to verse 1 there of Galatians chapter 5, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." See, it's like when we grow up in this certain culture, we also grow into an instinct, right? We grow into this, just the way that we do things. And even neurologically, like, it's so fascinating to look at how habits are set up in our minds and the way that instinct is set up in our minds. But when Jesus comes in, like, he comes in to change everything. He doesn't just come in just so that we can be touched in a moment, so that we can have an emotional feeling and then go back to our old way of doing things. In fact, that's exactly what Paul is speaking about here. Like, we do not receive freedom just so that we can go and live however we want to, because if that were the case, then why would we need Jesus at all? If we're just living however we want to, then we don't need Jesus to do that. We can do that even without him. We don't need an emotional moment to do that. We if we're really going to trust our lives to Jesus, then we need to open our whole lives to him. We need to make sure that we're not just allowing the culture of our past to continue to work through our future, but that we're actually allowing Jesus to influence our culture now, today. See, what I do is I will be having an incredible day, going along my business, getting work done. Even these days where kids are doing school and all the kind of stuff, they're getting their assignments done. Man, we're knocking it out and everything. Even the dog is having a good day, right? And we'll just be going about our day. And then all of a sudden, one of those kids will just decide that they've had enough. And they don't want to do work anymore. And they don't want to be happy anymore. And all they want to do is aggravate everybody else in the house, including the dog. And they just go out and everything. And then what would be the right thing for me to do is to step back and to recognize how God might be able to work in this situation. But what I actually do is I jump all over that kid. Like, what are you doing? What's wrong? Why are you trying to be so sad? Why don't you just go to sleep or go to eat something or just leave us alone or whatever it is? But I absolutely lose my mind. I go back to the instinct, which is to get my way, right? When what I really need to recognize is that me getting my way never makes me feel good. It just makes me feel worn out at the end of the day. But what if there was another way? What if I didn't have to keep going back to my burden? Right? That's what he talks about there in verse 1. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by this yoke of slavery. Like, if we're going to submit our lives to Jesus, let's stop going back to the old culture. Because let's remember this now. You came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, or maybe you're even coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ right now because of a burden on your life. You recognize that there's something in your life that isn't right or wasn't right. Like, you recognize that something needs to change, and you recognize as well that Jesus is the only way to bring that change in your life, the only way for you to really live an abundant life. You know that through that burden drove you to Jesus. So if we recognize that burden drove us to Jesus, why are we going back to the burden when we get stressed out in our homes and with our kids and all this kind of stuff? Church, I don't want you to feel like I'm accusing you. I'm just giving my testimony here. Like, I recognize that is what I'm doing. I'm going back to my burdens. When Jesus has already set me free from that, why do I do that? What? Surely there is another way. And then we skip down to verse 5 again. Sorry about that. Verse 5 again, which says, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope." Now, let me read this again, actually, because I want to make sure that we're getting the correct audience here, right? So verse 5, this is Paul speaking to the Galatian church, and he says, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. And now, as you hear me preaching a sermon on parenting, you read that and you are probably thinking to yourself, oh, I am awaiting by faith the day when my kids will finally act righteously. Like, I am waiting by faith for the day when my kids will act right and live right and live according to God's word. But here's what I want you to know, church, is that when Paul spoke that to the Galatian church, he wasn't speaking to their kids. He was speaking to them. Like, we've got to recognize that this righteousness, this right living, will only come through the Spirit of God in us as parents. Like, trust me, please pray for your children, all right? Please pray for your children and your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews, your grandkids, all that kind of stuff. Like pray for your kids, because I'm telling you, they're struggling with some things, and life is not always easy there. However, just know that they are not going to come to the submission to God's Holy Spirit until their parents come into submission to God's Holy Spirit. Like, you are the way and the avenue by which the Holy Spirit will get into your children's lives. And so when you read this verse 5, recognize that when it says that through the Spirit we eagerly await for the faith, await by faith the righteousness for which we hope, know that that's our righteousness that we're waiting for. And it only comes through faith. My righteousness can only come through God's Spirit, and my kids will learn it from me. Now the key is, we need to make sure that we're not just teaching our children righteousness, but that we're teaching our children how to submit to the Spirit. Now, as we go throughout this series over the next few weeks, we're actually going to talk about what that will look like. And I'm going to give you some really practical ways to do that. We can't jump into all that right now, but I really want to encourage you to make sure you stick with us through all this, because we are going to give you some really practical tools for how you can help your kids not just live right and make right choices, but actually submit to God's Holy Spirit themselves. But I'll tell you right now, it all starts with your submission to God's Holy Spirit first. Then verse 6, and we'll end on this one here. And it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You know, Beth and I have tried all kinds of different parenting techniques, all kinds of different stuff. Some of it has seemed to work. And some of it has definitely not seemed to work. Some of it seems to work for a little while, but some of it doesn't really seem to last very long. And maybe part of that is just our issue of sticking with it. Maybe we have some ADD parenting going on that we really need to address. But these different parenting techniques, there's a lot of different things out there. And truth be told, depending on who you're talking to, different things are working for different people. But one of the things that we've found is that no matter what technique that we're using for our parenting, we tend to go back to our burdens. We tend to go back to our places of insecurity. We tend to go back to those places that to our woundedness. Whether that's in childhood or wherever those experiences have happened, we tend to go back to those things. No matter what technique we're doing, they always seem to hit a wall because we keep going back to those burdens. But church, I just want you to know there is another way. But first, we've got to confess the sin of going back to our burdens. In another sermon, one of the things we're going to talk about is how the enemy is at work in our homes. And sometimes the first thing we want to try to do is put blame on others of how they're allowing the enemy to work in their lives, but certainly not mine, right? And before we can go anywhere else, before we can address how to parent our kids well, before we can really get into what that would look like in our homes, what we first have to do is look at ourselves. We have to confess that we have gone back to burdens that have done us no good. Church, I want you to know that there is another way. There is a way to parent in your home that is fruitful, that will actually bring joy to you and to your family. Like I want you to know, like there is a way that you can guide your children that will actually lead them to Jesus and not away from him. Like there is a way that you can live in front of your children that will encourage them, that you don't have to just send them to the church building to be able to see a godly example, but that they can see that godly example in your home. Like that can happen. You can be the greatest spiritual influencer in your home that you could have ever imagined. But I want you to know, it all starts by us recognizing that we have some sin to confess. It starts by recognizing that, you know what, we've gone back to some burdens, even though we might love Jesus, but we keep going back to these burdens. We're going to talk about how we can move beyond that, but first we just have to acknowledge, you know what, I'm doing it, and I need to stop. And this is where, whether you're a parent or not, the truth is we all have these stressors in our lives that do these kinds of things to us. We all have stressors in our lives that kind of take us to our breaking point, right? And many times, like most of our day, we'll be able to go around and we might even be listening to Christian music. We might have a word of scripture on our heart, all those kinds of things. But sometimes we get into that point of stress, and whether it's at work or with a spouse or even just driving, like whatever it is, like sometimes we just lose our ever-loving minds because of whatever this particular stress is. And what I'm just saying is we got to stop going back to our old burdens. We've got to stop. We've got to recognize that if Jesus has set us free from that burden, then we've got to let that burden go. We've got to let that culture go. We've got to let that way of doing things go. Whether you're a parent or not, we all have ways that we reach back for that old culture. We reach back for those old burdens, thinking that's going to help bring us success in the midst of this stress, that we're going to be able to get our way, that we're going to be able to make people do things the way we want them to. Well, you know what? What if life isn't about us getting things the way we want it to be? What if there's another way, actually? What if your children's behavior issues aren't a matter of them not doing what you want them to do? But it's really a matter of them not doing what God has designed for them to do. Before we can help our kids get there, we've got to stop and confess. You know what? I've been going back to burdens instead of going back to God's Holy Spirit. And some of you might be thinking, well, I don't even know what it would look like to go to God's Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that. Don't worry about that. We're going to get there. Stick with me. But step number one is we've just got to acknowledge what we're doing. And once we acknowledge that, we can move forward. We can live in the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. We can say, you know what? Like, yes, I've got this burden, but Jesus, I am surrendering that burden to you right now. I'm believing, I'm casting my cares on you. And I know, God, that you are able to take it from me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross and forgiving me of my sins and forgiving me of the sin of going back to my burden. Whatever your burden is today, Jesus can handle it. He can take care of it. He can make you whole. He can fill you up with His Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about what that means and what that looks like and how that works itself out in your family. But I just want you to know it's possible for you right now. As we sing these next couple of songs, I really want to encourage you to respond to what God is speaking into your life. Is today the day that you say, you know what? I'm tired of going back to my old ways. I don't know what this future looks like. I don't know what it looks like to parent in the Spirit. I don't know what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. I don't know what it looks like to actually submit to God's Holy Spirit, but it's got to be better than what I've been doing. If you're tired of this burden that you're carrying, you're tired of going back to it, why don't you let today be the day where you just lay that at the feet of Jesus? Let Him take that from you, that He can begin to establish a new culture in your life and in your family. Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that even though we keep going back to the old stuff, God, you're still here. You're still faithful. You're still patient with us, God. I thank you, Lord, that you receive us back every time. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, that we might be able to shape the next generation, Father, as we are parenting these kids, God. Help us, Lord, that we might raise them up to be followers of Jesus Christ, Lord. But help us right now. Right now, God, help us to just simply say yes to you. Help us to stop going back and to just allow you to establish a new culture in our lives. God, we surrender. I surrender, Lord. I surrender to you, to the culture of your kingdom. I don't know what that looks like exactly in my family. I don't know what that's going to be, Lord. But Lord, I surrender to you. I'm tired of how things are going now. And I don't want to live in the burden anymore. God, set me free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I didn't move anywhere.